WTF, producer
whoa,
Jeff.
Whoa, this is a family-friendly podcast.
It still is. WTF is what the fertility. It is an online community for people who are struggling with trying to have a child. Do you guys want to have a family?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah.
The thing nobody tells you when you're starting out is that sometimes things don't go exactly when you expect them to go. Mm-hmm. And that's what the fertility is all about. It's created by a woman named Alexis Del Chiaro, who for 4 years went through just heartbreaking loss, a failed adoption, and just a lot of personal trauma trying to have a family. Now, her story has an incredibly happy ending. She now has two kids who are 5 months apart. That backstory is something else. And the creation of What the Fertility led to this unexpected opportunity for her as an Instagram influencer. So in this Dying to Ask, you'll hear Alexa's remarkable story, and she'll give you some advice on putting like the thing that's the scariest to you out in the universe, because ultimately that's what led to her beautiful family and to these other opportunities.
That sounds exciting.
It's awesome. And you're probably going to cry, so grab a Kleenex right now. Here is Dying to Ask. Have you ever wondered, how did they do that? I'm talking about the art of the follow-through. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and Dying to Ask is the podcast that gets me off a TV news set and into candid conversations with authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers I have been dying to talk to. So brace yourself. This is a verbal gut check about what it takes to go from idea to reality. And who knows, maybe along the way, you'll get some answers to questions you've been dying to ask. Alexis Del Chiaro, thank you. Did I say your name right?
You did.
I love saying your name. Thank you. Is it Italian?
It's Italian, yes. 99.9% Italian.
Oh, there you go. That's just a rounding error at that point.
Right?
So what's the craziest thing your kids did this morning when you were trying to get out of the house?
Oh, girl, you don't even want to know. Because you know we're potty training two kids. Honestly, the potty training has been easier than I thought it would be, but it's just the fact
you
that
you just like completely curse yourself right there.
Well,
but
see, then we'll get into it. Of all the hard things to do in the world, potty training is like on the low bottom of that list. There's way harder things to do, like getting a child, for example, or getting pregnant. Those are hard things.
Which, you know what? And that is perspective. And that's mm-hmm. why you're here today. It is World Adoption Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of anyone else I know who has a more remarkable adoption story than you.
Thank you.
It's like, this is a, get ready, because this is a crazy story you're about to hear.
I'm probably going to cry some point, because I always get emotional talking about my kids.
Yeah, and you should, because the journey of how they came to be your kids is pretty remarkable. You created something called What the Fertility in 2014 after going through a really tough time of trying to do something that most of us take mm-hmm. for granted. So mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about how it all started.
Yeah, well, What the Fertility stands for WTF, because that is
the
how
only time Jeff is going to let us say WTF on this podcast.
What the Fertility. Yeah. And you know, when you get married, you think, we want to have kids. Let's start our life. We'll, you know, do all these things according to a timeline. And that is absolutely not the case for so many women and men when you try to start a family. So we immediately said, let's have a bunch of kids. And it was so much more difficult than that. We did get pregnant on our own after about 9 months of trying, which is pretty normal. Most couples get pregnant within the first year. That one was turned into a miscarriage, and miscarriages are super common. There was nothing we could have done. It's just how it happened. 6 months later, we were able to get pregnant again, and again, it was a miscarriage. So at that point, I knew something was wrong. I mean, I could feel it even before then, but really, it's hard to get doctors or people to pay attention because, you're young. This is super common. And unfortunately it is. But after that, I decided it was time to start heading down the fertility treatment road because I wasn't getting any younger. I feel like we all have that biological clock and mine was ticking. But then that diving into the fertility world was really difficult. And it ended up being a 4 year long process with so many heartbreaks.
And so at that time you were working in my profession, you were working mm-hmm. as a TV news anchor. Were mm-hmm. you in Phoenix at that point?
I was in San Diego mm-hmm. and I actually ended up leaving my job as a morning news anchor. Great job, great station. And I left that job because I was so upset. I had just gone through two miscarriages and I just felt like I couldn't get up every morning and be cheerful and be happy and help people start their day when I was feeling so, I was depressed. I was really, really struggling. It was hard for me. And that was just the beginning of my difficulties. So yeah, then we moved from San Diego to LA and I wasn't able to have kids still. So I thought maybe I'm supposed to keep going with my career, and worked at two really great stations in LA, but nothing was satisfying me. I was seriously unhappy, and I kept leaving these jobs because I was looking for something else, which was my kids, which I was unable to find. So then I just kind of stopped working for a while.
And so when did you actually start the blog?
Started the blog after my first round of IVF. It was between stations. I had stopped working. Part of me felt like while I was working on air that it wasn't, I don't know if appropriate's the right word, but I wasn't able to share that part of myself when part of the job is to be, you know, cheerful and in a good mood and lift other people's spirits.
Put yourself out there like that and to talk about those things.
Oh my gosh, I'll never forget. I had worked so hard to put the Fertility together, but the moment I pressed play, you know, or however you activate a website. Thank you. I had a web person helping me.
Yeah. The blog fairy
came down. I waved my magic wand. I was so scared. In hindsight, I don't know what I was scared of, because it actually felt so good to share my story and put that information out there, because you have no idea how many people wrote to me and messaged me and said, I've been there too. Same thing happened to me. I know exactly how you feel. And there's nothing better when you're struggling to know that you have a community and a group of people that have walked your journey and really truly get what you're going through.
So you then continue blogging, mm-hmm. and you were really, really honest mm-hmm. about the efforts that you and your husband Gabe were going through trying mm-hmm. to have a child.
Man, it was hard. It was hard to be that honest because that's a very vulnerable part of sharing your life and your married life and all these doctor's appointments. But I did feel it was kind of like a catharsis in sharing that information and starting this community. But at the same time, it was hard to every day. My world was about trying to have a baby, and so was my blog. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, I couldn't really escape it. After going to a doctor's appointment, I would come home and write about what just happened. And it was all bad news. I never got any good news. And so it was hard to live in that world all the time.
Did you have people in your family life saying, you know, maybe this isn't the best thing to be doing because it's so hard on you?
Yeah. Well, I think everybody in my life was worried about me. It was a tough couple of years. And I think that because of my career, my previous career, you know, what we do as news anchors is to tell stories. This time I was just telling my own. I felt like for some weird reason, maybe it was part of the why this is happening to me. Like, I couldn't have my family until I had shared my own journey. Because it is easy to tell someone else's story, mm-hmm. you know, but it is hard to tell your own. And I just felt like I needed to do this in order to eventually be a mom. And so we went through three rounds of IVF, all unsuccessful, which is pretty abnormal. And we did this PGD testing of the embryos in the second round. And out of the four embryos that we received, they tested them, and all of them had chromosomal abnormalities, which is very unusual as well. If maybe just one had them, or you know, a few had a few, but all had multiple. And so our doctor then said, you'll never be able to get pregnant. This is just not something that can happen for you. But in this,
what was that like when somebody says that?
Oh, it was the most crushing thing you could ever say to me. I'll never forget that day. It was awful. It was the worst news. But at the same time, I could not believe that, because they couldn't tell me why. I have unexplained infertility, which happens to about one in six couples who deal with infertility. And basically, they just don't know what's wrong with you, which is the hardest part.
It's just doctors throwing their hands up.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean, they have come such a long way in helping people to get pregnant. But for us, they couldn't tell us what the problem was. And And so there wasn't a solution. So that's why I thought, I understand why you're saying this, but I don't believe you. Because in my mind's eye, I am going to be a mom. I picture myself pregnant. Now, I mean, adoption was something that was always on my heart. I always felt like after we had a few biological children that we would adopt. And that was, my husband was okay with that. That was just kind of where, what we were thinking we would do. So I knew that if no matter what else, we would adopt, and that would be fantastic because it was always on our hearts. But I pictured myself pregnant, and I just couldn't imagine a world where I couldn't create a baby, which is right. So hard for women, because that's, you know, what we were kind of put here on earth to do.
You take for granted, like you were saying. So I met you a couple of years ago. By the one point, you had moved to Sacramento and mm-hmm. still were pursuing trying to have a family. And we have a mutual friend. My former producer went to high school with you. And she had messaged me and said, my friend Alexis just moved back to Sacramento. Keep an eye out for it. And I ran into you of all places at the gym.
Yeah, well, and I had a lot of time on my hands.
You did. And we ended up having a nice sweaty conversation in the lobby of the gym. And then coincidentally, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, but 48 hours later, I had a friend who was going through some fertility issues. So I said, look, you stay off the internet because it's a bad, bad mm-hmm. place for you right now. Let me do some research. So I start Googling, what do I come across but what the fertility?
Aww.
And I'm like, this is a fantastic site. And then I look and go, this is the sweaty girl I was just talking to 48 hours ago.
That was me.
But I thought, what an amazing sign. And I started, and I got sucked into the blog and reading about what you're going through, and my heart just broke for you.
Oh, thank you.
Just broke. But then something amazing happened. And we'll get to that part of the story right after this. Jeff, did you know that KCRA3's Leticia Ardaz likes musicals?
I did not know that.
You know how I knew that?
How do you know that?
KCRA app, what? News team bios. It's one of the fun features you'll find on the app in addition to your news, your weather. I know you love the weather.
Weather's very important.
Super important to Jeff. He needs to know what to wear in the morning. Sartorial splendor, that is his thing. KCRA app, it is free. It's like having KCRA in your pocket. And if you enable those push notifications, you find out breaking news as we know it.
That sounds great.
Well, go get it.
I will.
Now, you mentioned that you and your husband were open to adoption, and I know that you pursued the adoption route and had some trouble at first. You had a failed adoption.
Yes. That was so devastating. I can't even explain. We had connected with a birth mom through my blog, actually, through a friend of a friend of a friend. Somebody had read that we were looking to adopt, and we got connected, and we got to know her. And we thought that that baby girl was going to be ours. We're going through all the paperwork, but she ended up changing her mind at the last minute. And can't really say too much. She was just very troubled and had a lot of issues, and it was so hard. But I just cried so hard because I thought that was going to be our baby girl, you know. And I've seen pictures of her, and she's so beautiful. And
but
she's
the plan
so
was
cute.
Different.
The plan was different. The plan was the plan was our plan. It was so much better than I could have ever imagined. But yeah, adoption, it is such a beautiful thing, but it's hard. Like, it's really, really hard. The process itself, the home study, the amount of paperwork and tests and classes and all of it, it's hard. It's exhausting. The loving your child is the easy part, you know? It's all the stuff before that that's really difficult. Yeah, that failed adoption put a bitter taste in our mouths about adoption, which is unfortunate. But we took a minute. We picked ourselves up. We went through a different agency, and we tried again. And it was probably like a year and a half later when we were actually down the proper adoption path.
And then what happened?
Well, so we got a phone call from someone, a birth mom, who said that she was looking to place her child. She was pregnant. And so we were excited. But, you know, after going through a failed adoption, you're super cautious. Like, we didn't want to get hurt again. We flew out to Phoenix to meet her. I was actually the 22-week anatomy scans.
And so how had she found you?
Again, through my blog. So,
wow.
Yeah. So because everybody that I knew in the whole world knew about our troubles, an old friend in Phoenix sent my blog to this prospective mom, and she followed up, and we got connected that way. And I mean, it was really, it was fate. It was it was perfect. It was exactly how it was supposed to be. So we met her and we really connected. I really liked her. But again, so cautious because, right, you know, you don't usually even want to get connected with a birth family or birth mom until the last trimester because so much can happen.
You're like midway.
Yeah.
So when you meet her, I mean, do you feel like you're auditioning a little bit?
Oh.
What is that like?
Yeah, no, it felt like life's biggest audition. But she felt like that too. Like we were both so nervous and wanting to like impress each other. And, you know, it's strange. But we also just connected in this weird cosmic way that I feel like that we both knew.
So you felt a good connection.
I did.
You think, here's our baby. What happened a week later?
So a week later, even though the doctor said I would never get pregnant, I never gave up hope that we would. And a week later, I took a pregnancy test and it was positive. And I fell to the bathroom floor on my knees and I remember crying. I was probably like laying there for like an hour because I just couldn't believe this is 4 years in, you know, and we'd had a couple positive pregnancies, but they were so long ago. Nothing had happened in years. And I could not believe it. But also, again, been through many miscarriages and struggled so much, even with IVF and help from doctors, that I thought, this is great because it's progress. It means something has changed or we can move forward. I wasn't thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be bringing home a baby in 9 months. But I thought, okay, at least if the worst case scenario, I have another miscarriage, we can biopsy the embryo and possibly get more answers. And that to me, like, was enough to like keep my heart like full. So we're dealing with like two unknowns, like an early on pregnancy and an early on adoption. And it's crazy with the timing, because if I had taken that test just a couple days earlier, we probably wouldn't have flown out to Phoenix. Because if I had a positive pregnancy test, I would have thought it'd be too hard to adopt right now too. I can't do both. This is too much. But thankfully, we went to Phoenix first. Then I took my test. And then the next couple months, we were just sort of in limbo, hoping that everything would be okay with my pregnancy and with birth mom's pregnancy. And she was I told my husband, then I told her, she was the second person who knew, because I didn't want her to find out and in hindsight be confused, or did they lie to me, or do they still want this baby? And I said, this is what's going on. So crazy, but please, 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 we still want your baby. I think she was kind of worried that we might back out, and we were of course kind of worried she'd back out, nobody backed out.
Wow.
Healthy pregnancy, healthy baby, and she ended up having our son. He was a preemie, 6.5 weeks early, but I was there and I cut the umbilical cord and was the first person to hold him. And it was just, you can't even imagine. It's like living outside of your body, being able to see that happen.
And then 5 months later, baby number two.
Yeah, got an infant and a newborn.
How many times a day do you say they're not twins?
I get asked that a lot. When they were younger, I just got a lot of weird looks because it seemed like, of course, they couldn't be twins. A newborn and a 6-month-old look very different.
Right.
But now
they look pretty much like twins.
And they have the same big blue eyes, which I think is a God thing, because the blue eyes are a recessive trait, like on our side. My husband and I don't have blue eyes, but they have the exact same color eyes. I think it's so cool. So I get asked that a lot, but you know, I feel like it's an opportunity to talk about adoption and infertility and share our story. And you'd be surprised at how many people have questions about one or both. And I'm so happy to be able to share our story and maybe educate or inspire someone else that's struggling on their journey.
You went through such a rough couple of years. Mm-hmm. What are the big lessons that you think you've learned from this whole experience?
Well, just like you said at the beginning, I mean, it really is about perspective, because what I've learned is that everybody is dealing with something. Everybody is struggling. Everybody is hurting, not all the time and not every day, but you know, no one has a perfect life. And I feel like this journey, it brought me to my kids, of course. And so it's the happy ending that I always wanted, but it really opened my eyes to the kind of ways that people can struggle. And I think that gratitude and just really like being here, being present for my kids. Like at the beginning, I mean, potty training is so much easier than trying to get pregnant or adopting or any of it. So like at the end of the day, even when I have like two kids melting down and like top potties all over my house, like that is such a good day. It's a such a great day.
You know what I think is so interesting too is if you hadn't gone with your gut and put this out in the universe and created what the fertility in the community, we probably wouldn't be sitting here talking about this today.
Well, I think that it's a difficult subject to talk about, which is why there aren't that many sites or communities out there, because for whatever reason, it feels kind of shameful or embarrassing. And yeah, I think, like I said, my purpose maybe or why this happened to me is because I needed to share. I needed to be like a mouthpiece for all of these women who can't talk about it or don't have a friend that they're comfortable sharing with. So many women have miscarriages, 1 in 4. That's a lot of people, and not a lot of people talk about it. So yeah, I mean, it was so hard when I was going through it and I was struggling and depressed. But now this community, like, is everything. And it's not just about me anymore. It's not my story anymore. It's everybody can be a guest contributor. I mean, we have tons of people that talk about health and wellness, adoption, fostering. It's kind of like your go-to place for having kids or wanting to have kids.
So now that you have the community, you have also this huge group of people who are really curious to know, what's Alexis doing all day? And it's really led into a secondary career for you as an Instagram influencer. So after this break, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because Grant and Gigi are kind of Instagram stars now, and God knows I keep up with them all day long. And I get the biggest kick out of watching them grow up online. And so I'm curious to know your advice for other people who maybe want to embrace some of the same kind of lifestyle. We'll do that right after this. It takes a special kind of person to do morning news, don't you think?
I think so.
And by special, I mean not right.
Yeah, there's definitely something crazy about all of us.
All of us. We love getting up in the middle of the night. We love starting the day really early. The news goes on at 4 a.m. now, 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. 5 hours of news.
That's a long time.
That is a very long time. You know how much time that is? 300 minutes.
A lot of minutes.
18,000 seconds.
That's a lot of seconds.
That's a lot of seconds. It's a lot of information.
Gonna start singing Rent right now?
I might. That is where I got the idea. That's a lot of news. That's a lot of weather. That's a lot of traffic. It's a lot of fun.
At 4 in the morning.
At 4 in the morning. And it all starts in the middle of the night. Join us. It's interesting, whenever you gain any number of followers on a website or on a social media handle, there are these opportunities that come up. And you had a lot of people following you on Instagram on your journey. And you've really become, in the mom world, quite the influencer. Aww. Was that a real conscious decision to go down that route?
That's so kind of you. No, actually, not at all. I just was like a mom that was super obsessed with her children.
Waited, don't know any of those.
Right. Waited 4 years to finally have my babies. And then I'm like, these are the cutest people in the world. Everybody, look at my kids.
In defense, they are.
Thank
they
you.
They really are.
Thank you. Also, I just thought, you know, there's so many moments that you want to capture, and like Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, it makes it so easy.
Yeah.
You know, and I just started in the morning. They would be laying there in their pajamas, and I would put Grant's arm around Gianna when they were super little and put their little beanies on so we could go out for our walk for coffee. And I just, every day, I took that picture. And then I thought, okay, well, now let's show everybody what we're doing now. And it just kind of became a thing. And I've gotten so many messages from people who just are glad to have, I mean, kids. Who doesn't want to see, like, cute little kids?
You know,
just having a bad day or whatever. So I'm happy to continue to share my kids and our lives, because if it helps make other people happy, I'm all good with that.
But you have like 18,000 people following your baby's every move. So at what point do you know that something has become more than just sharing your kids? It's kind of become an opportunity to not only share the What the Fertility message, but also maybe to take on, you know, almost the new career that draws a lot from your previous career as a journalist, because you're an amazing writer.
Thank you.
Love your writing, and you have obviously a great eye for pictures. So how do you make that decision to go ahead and take it up a level? Because it does become kind of like a job to take pictures of these kids all day.
It does. You know? It does.
As cute as they are.
Oh, and to get them to hold still. Like, that is the hardest. I don't even care if they look at the camera. I just want a non-blurry photo. I would say to anyone who is looking to go down that road, the biggest thing is have a message and be consistent with it. In on whatever it is, your blog or your Instagram page, you have to put out a ton of content. And that is tough, but I mean, I'm at home with my kids. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I have plenty of opportunities to take photos of them, take videos. And I find that even some of the things that I think, that's not a big deal, I will get hundreds of messages on my daughter double fisting pizza, you know, right. Like, and so I feel like if you're going down that road and that's something you want to pursue, continue whatever your message is or whatever your brand is, just go for it and be honest and be real and connect with other people in that world. So for me, it's not necessarily like the blogger world. I don't think that I'm in necessarily. I think I'm in the mom world, and they're different. And there's all these different little niches, like people who talk about fashion and people who have these perfectly curated pages. And that's totally not me, because that's just not where I am in life. Maybe when they're a little older, I can, you know, I can get them to sit still for photos.
You might find it's harder then. The bribes get way more expensive.
See, I was going to say, I mean, we live for bribes, right? And men's right now. Yeah, but it's just, and for me, it's fun and I love it. And I've told you before that I miss being a news anchor, because I miss connecting with the community like that, you know, just to have that engagement. But at the same time, I have it here. This is this own community I've created. And so it works. And yeah. I get to stay home with the kids and wear yoga pants like
Which
every
is
single day.
Super sweet.
I'm wearing yoga pants right now.
Very nice. What is the biggest mistake people make when they go off in the influencer world, do you think?
I think it's being not your authentic self. I think it's easy to see that. I think whatever your message is, it's got to be totally you and what you believe in. And you can't try to copy someone else's page, or, you know, if fashion isn't your thing, then like, don't take a million fashion pictures. Do what feels good and feels real, because people are attracted to honesty and it's not always pretty. Like, I've shared a lot of very unpretty things, you know, but they're real and they happen to me. And so I know they've happened to other people, mm-hmm. even if other people aren't talking about it. But I had posted this, I posted this video on YouTube years ago. I think it was like our second or third round of IVF, and I was showing what it's like to give yourself the shots. And I went back and watched it recently, and I was so hard for me to watch. It was like such a vulnerable place, like a sad, sad place. And so I really can't believe I shared that on the internet. But at the same time, so many people have watched it because they're getting ready to start a round of IVF and wanted to know what it was like. And so if I could help someone or give them a little confidence, then it was worth it.
There must be a certain amount of pride that you have, knowing that people you don't even know have probably watched that.
Yeah. I mean, yes. It's weird because it's not like I'm doing a video on how to make a really delicious soup. Yeah. You know,
I bet you could do it, though.
The only thing I can make is reservations. Okay? Let's just put it that way. It's a fact. I'm so good. I'm
at
the queen of takeout.
Restaurant.
Yes. No, but it is, because the hardest part about wanting to have kids and not being able to have them, and I'm talking about like infertility and the failed adoption and all of that, is feeling like you're alone and you're never going to get there. Because I remember people that I had reached out to through my blog at the very beginning that are like, girl, I know this happened to me and I all these things. And, you know, everyone has a story. And I just said, okay, I'm so glad you got your kids, but I want to get mine too. Like, when am I going to get my happy ending, you know? And it took 4 years and a whole lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but I couldn't change it. I wouldn't change it, you know, because then Grant and Gigi wouldn't be here.
Yeah, meant to be the way it was. Mm-hmm. All right, we have a few minutes left, and I want to ask you some of your life hacks. I love knowing how people do things all day long.
Okay.
It's kind of my obsession.
All right.
So tell me a little bit, what's your day like? How do you start your day?
With strong coffee. Yeah. First things first.
How many cups?
One, because this could be a different podcast, but we're trying to have another and it's not going well. So we're actually looking down the adoption road again, but caffeine's not the best for you when you're trying to get pregnant. So I just have one cup a day, which I should definitely have more, but one cup of coffee. And then, you know, for having two toddlers, like, we need to get out of the house. We need to burn all that energy. We need to run and play in the mud and get super, super dirty so that we can come home and have like a really good nap.
Yeah.
Because I live for those naps as a stay-at-home mom. Like, you need time to whatever it is. Sometimes it's when I do my social media blog stuff. Sometimes I sit in quiet.
Yeah.
Or eat food that I don't want them to eat.
Exactly.
Like, I don't want to share some food. Yeah.
No. They don't have to have all the cupcakes.
No. Or even some healthy food. I'm like, can I just get a bite? You know? My daughter is a really big eater. And then I think that what gets you through life, for me anyway, is strong coffee, good wine, and good friends. Because it's in those people that you can rely on and lean on and, you know, it's my own community. I think that you can't really survive motherhood without that.
What's a non-negotiable for you?
Oh gosh. So many. But I will say, and you know this, working out, feeling good, like whatever you're going through, like I just need to burn that energy for myself as well. So I have to work out. I'm a bar instructor, in fact, because it makes sure that I get to work out twice a week when I teach my class. So that's a non-negotiable. But yeah, I would say wine, but I'm doing a wine detox because, right, again, trying to get pregnant.
So, giving up all the good stuff.
Yes, I know. But I didn't give up Halloween candy, so I'm still good.
Good. Lost it entirely. Yeah. What do you like to read?
Gosh, I do like to read, but I wish I had more time. I mean, I know we need to make more time for reading, but right now all my reading is online, other people's blogs. Mm-hmm. Keep it short and sweet, because if I read more than a few pages, I fall asleep. It turns out.
Which is a good thing.
Yes.
Which is a good
mama
thing.
Mama needs her rest.
Yeah. What does mama want to do next? I mean, obviously you want to expand the family more, but where do you see taking the website and also, you know, just your social media presence?
I would love to expand and grow and continue to build the community, the What the Fertility community. We invite people to guest blog for us, and I just think it's so cool because no one has the exact same story. People ask me, how do you adopt all the time? Like, what's the first thing I should do? But there's so many answers to that question. I could tell you what I did. That's just one specific path. But in getting and growing the community and getting different perspectives, then you're able to get more information and think, okay, this is something I would like to do. So I would like What the Fertility to take over the world in about 5 years.
I think you're on your way.
I would like to have like 2 or 3 more kids, and hopefully biologically as well as adopted. We're just going to continue to make our family however it happens. I mean, I wish I could say it is super easy, because even though adoption, we've been through it before, it's still hard. It is still a difficult process. And now we have to think about, we have 2 kids at home, whereas before it was, our options were a little bit more open. So I see myself 5 years, bigger blog, more friends on the internet, and at least 2 or 3 more kids.
I want to leave with just one last thing. And that is, just a couple weeks ago, you posted on Instagram about a pretty remarkable experience you had taking Grant to meet up with his birth mom. Mm-hmm. Will you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people might not have that public. I mean, certainly they might have that kind of a meeting, but maybe not be so public about it. But it looked like it was pretty amazing.
Oh, it was one of the most special days ever, and I'll never forget it. She's met Grant a couple times since he was born, but now he's kind of old enough to understand. He knows he has a birth mom. We call her Mama Jess, and she's amazing. And yeah, she's also amazing because, you know, our family life is public. And so now she's a part of it too. Of course, I've asked her permission and it's okay. And she's fine with it. She is so amazing. Birth moms are the most loving, selfless, like giving people ever in the world. And I think it brings her joy to see Grant, for her to see Grant and see how happy he is and to know how loved he is and just to have that relationship, because I've never met a kid that was loved by too many people. I mean, he has his adoptive family, he has his birth family, and then this whole community of people we don't even know that love him and are cheering for him. It was emotional to see her. I mean, I think he was a little bit shy, but like I was crying and she was crying and it was beautiful. I think that it's like having extended family. And she will always be a part of our lives. And when Grant's old enough to really comprehend what's going on, it's his decision what type of relationship he wants to have with her. And I totally support it.
It's one of the bravest things a woman can do.
Oh, she is phenomenal, truly.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty cool, too.
Right back at you, babe.
All right, how do we keep up with you and What the Fertility?
Oh, boy, whatthefertility.com. And you can always find us on Instagram through What the Fertility or my blog and my Instagram, Alexis Del Chiaro. Again, Italian, you're going to have to, like, write it down. It's so difficult to...
It's so pretty.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis.
Thank you so much.
So the big thing that stuck out to me on this one was, at one point in her life, the best case scenario was a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a scary place to be.
It is.
They say that 1 in 6 couples have fertility problems. And that's something that's kind of always been in the back of my mind. Because right now, my wife and I are being pretty careful. We're not really in a place where we can have a kid right now. She's going through grad school. We're trying to pay off student loans.
You have a lot on your plate right now.
Yeah. Like right now, it's not a good time for us. So the plan is down the road to start our family. And we're part of a Bible study where there's 5 other couples. 4 of them all have kids. The 5th one doesn't want kids. So I'm like, what if we're the 6th couple?
Oh, you can't think like that though.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, here's our story. We had number 1 like instantly. Mm. Number 2 took years. Mm. And I went down that same path that she did where it was unexplained, couldn't figure out. And then I was heading off to the Beijing Olympics and my doctor said, is there any possibility you might be pregnant? And I'm like, God, do you have to be mean about this right now? You know, I've already made the appointments for fertility when I get back from the Olympics. She's like, you know, I don't want to give you these nasty shots until I try. So she, sure enough, she did a pregnancy test and I was. Mm. So for no, you know, they couldn't figure out why I wasn't having another baby. And then it was. So all I'm going to tell you as your big sister here on the podcast is that things happen when they're going to happen. And if it doesn't happen the way you think you want things to happen, I think Alexis' story tells us all that there's a journey and there's something down there. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes you just have to let life happen.
Yeah, makes sense.
A little deeper than you thought I was going to go right there, huh?
No, this was a good episode. I mean, yeah. It's good to go there. It's good to have the conversation.
We're going to prep. Producer Jeff to be Daddy Jeff when it's the right time.
When it's the right time.
All right, you can keep up with us on Instagram at Run Read Sip. That's mine. On Facebook, you'll find me at Casey Ray Deirdre. And on Twitter, you'll find me at Casey Ray Fitz. Where do we find you these days?
I'm Producer Jeff.
Yes, you are.
You can at me there.
Please at him. Please share the podcast. Loving the reviews. Okay, that is one of the nicest things that's been coming in here lately. We really appreciate it. It helps us grow the podcast. And then, if you'll treat it like a chain letter, share it with anyone you can. Let them know word of mouth is how this and how What the Fertility grew. So we appreciate everybody who helps us out in our podcast mission.
Yep.
Till next time.
Next time.
Bye.
Later.